What? Can you hear us?
Yes, we can.
What happened?
It's not on.
It is. Oh!
Will the House please come to order? Will the members please show their presence by voting? If any member failed to vote, clerk may take final roll.
30 members present.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, Representative Brown, Branson, O'Connell, Moss, and Parr excused from the call today. I do note Representative Moss' presence.
The prayer today is by Pastor Milton Hunt of the Resurrection Lutheran Church. Will the members please rise for today's prayer?
Let us pray. Most gracious God, we give thanks for these accomplishments of the week and request new energy for these last work days of this present week. As sometimes the rain is refreshing and other times may appear depressing, so our attitude for cooperation sometimes soars and other times droops. Fill each representative with a renewed sense of understanding and appreciation of his fellow legislators. Rededicate each one and all together to a new cooperative spirit as this session attempts to wrap up its business in the weeks ahead. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd ask the prayer be spread on the journal.
If there's no objection, the prayer will be spread on the journal.
Speaker, get under the ease, please.
House, please stand at ease.
Sent to the journal for the 123rd day, and House Supplement number 68 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
There's no objection. The journal and journal supplement will stand approved. Guest for introduction, Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery B, I'd like to introduce two guests from Fairbanks, Frank and Nancy Murkowski. As you all know, Frank's a Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate and formerly the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce and Economic Development.
Representative Moss.
Mr. Speaker, I've got an old friend back in Gallery A back here, Bob Lohr, back from Anchorage now, but he is from Tulsa.
Are there further guests for introduction? Messages from the governor?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate?
The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for House Bill number 782, namely committee substitute for House Bill number 782 amended Senate, local service roads and trails. The President appointed a free conference committee to meet with the like committee from the House to consider the above bills. Senator Kurtula, Chairman, Senator Sturgiluski, Senator Bennett. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Labor and Management has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 439, Workmen's Compensation for High School Students Enrolled in Work-Study Courses, under consideration. A majority of the committee reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Hurlburt, Chairman, signing Dupass, Hurlburt, Miller, and Rogers. No recommendation, Hayes and Bettesworth. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 439 has a further referral to Judiciary. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 575 amended, authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $15,987,000 in revenue bonds for international airports, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurring by Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, and Rogers. Senate Bill 575 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 437, sale of certain state land subject to competitive leases, under consideration a second time. A majority of the committee reports it back with a recommends that it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 437 resources and reports it back with individual recommendation and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, signing do pass, Fuller and Miles, signing do not pass, Cotton and Chatterton, signing no recommendation, Carney and Halford. House Bill 437 has no further referral.
On Senate Bill 439, there is a fiscal note, so we need to change the judiciary referral to a finance referral. Well, the House, please stand at ease. Back to order. House Bill 437 does have a fiscal note, will be referred to the Finance Committee.
The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 688, authorizing the Commissioner of Fish and Game to acquire certain timber cutting rights under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 688 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Fuller, Carney, Cotton, Eliason, and Halford. Having no recommendation, Jaroff. Signing do not pass, Chatterton. House Bill 688 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had sponsor substitute for House Bill 800, unitization of oil and gas leases under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 800, Finance, and recommends it do pass. Report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, and Guy. Schaefer has no recommendation. Sponsor substitute for House Bill 800 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 978, regulation of the practice of hair design and cosmetology, terminating the existence of the Board of Barber Examiners and Board of Hairdressing and Beauty Culture Examiners. Under consideration, a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with the Commerce Committee substitute for House Bill 978 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, and Rogers. House Bill 978 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 983, parole of offenders, continuing the Board of Parole, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 983, Finance, and reports it back with individual recommendation and attaches new fiscal notes. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing do pass, Freeman, Smith, Schaefer, and Guy. No recommendation, Moss and McKinnon. House Bill 983 has no further referral. The Committee on Finance has had House Bill 990, Alaska Small Loans Act, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with committee substitute for House Bill 990 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Guy, and Schaefer. House Bill 990 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The second free conference committee, which has had committee substitute for House Bill 3 and Senate committee substitute for House Bill 3 under consideration, recommends that second free conference committee substitute for House Bill 3 relating to elections and election campaign contributions effective date be adopted. Report was signed by the Senate members, Tillian Chairman, Mulcahy, and Ferguson, by the House members, Gardner Chairman, Anderson, and Martin. This bill is being printed now and will be placed on each member's desk. I have no further special committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions. Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Can we revert to introduction of guests?
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In Gallery A, we have Dr. Bill Cummings with the Scripps Institute, who's doing acoustical research for the North Slope Borough. Dr. Cummings. Oh, yes, and would you ask the clerk to note Jaroff's?
Introduction, citations, and resolutions.
Citation honoring Emily Ivanoff Brown by Representative Fuller and Senator Ferguson. Citation in memoriam Sylvia Ringstad by Representative Bettisworth and Senator Hackney. House Resolution Number 23 by the Judiciary Committee, relating to separation of the Salcha area from the Fairbanks North Star Borough.
Community and Regional Affairs.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 73 by the Resources Committee, requesting the Governor to take steps to prevent and mitigate the effects of the anticipated financial emergency in the fish harvesting industry in the state.
Resources.
I have no further resolutions for introduction, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House Bill.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Carney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There will be a Democratic caucus on a motion to recess.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, for the purpose of a party caucus, I move the House recess to the call of the chair.
There's no objection. The House will stand recess, call the chair, purpose of party caucus. Please come to order. There's no objection. We'll revert to reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Finances had Senate Bill 315 relating to search and rescue and creating a search and rescue fund under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 315 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, signing DuPass, Guy, Moss, McKinnon, and Rogers. No recommendation, Freeman, Schaefer, and Smith. Senate Bill 315 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
The request of the Finance Chairman would like to waive referral on Senate Bill 511, bill in the Judiciary Committee, laying the criminal laws. Brings us back to the calendar. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before we move to the calendar, for the information of the House Republicans, and I'm saying this in order to avoid confusion after we get into the calendar, they'll notice today that the calendar that usually is in one packet is in two packets. You'll find the calendar, which one packet which has just bills and another packet which has the bill history. So if you would look around and see if you can locate those, we're ready to go.
Clerk, please read the first item on today's calendar.
House Resolution Number 20 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, relating to participation by the state in the White House Conference on Families. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Resolution 20 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing do pass, Brown, Phillips, Buchholz, Malone, and Parr, having no recommendation until after the Governor's report, signed by Martin. Do not pass, Barnes. No recommendation, Anderson. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Is there a debate? Representative Parker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The White House Conference on Families has the process has continued now since the start of the year. Hundreds of people across the state have gone to the meetings in the 13 locations around the state. Each member of the legislature has been asked to nominate a delegate, and other people from the public who just showed up and to take part have voted. 9 delegates have been selected, 6 have been elected, and 3 appointed by the governor. The governor decided because incredibly the issue has become controversial in this election year, that he would take the advice of the 3 appointed members, the 3 he appointed to be delegates to the White House Conference, on whether or not the state should continue to participate, that is, to send our 9 delegates that the process has generated to the White House Conference. They're meeting today in Anchorage to discuss this problem, and this is the chance for the members of the House to take a position on this. As I said, it's you can see from the last line of the resolution, the resolve clause has the House supporting participation by the state in the White House Conference on Families. In any other year, of course, it would not be controversial, but because this is an election year, it is, and I think it's appropriate for the House to take a position on it.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Recently, I had an opportunity to leave Juneau and return to Anchorage for a convention. At that time, I found things that I considered not to be very proper. I had an occasion to have to speak out on what I considered irregularities. Following on the footsteps of that was the White House Conference on the Families. I, as many of you did, nominated a delegate to go to that conference. I find myself today in a position of speaking against the White House Conference on the Family going forward to the national level. I have in my hand a packet of irregularities that took place in the White House Conference on the Family. I could stand up here and read page after page after page, taking up the time of this body. Instead, I will cite just one example of what I think was grossly wrong. Any time that we spend public dollars for a citizen participation conference, then those public dollars should be spent wisely and all members of our community be allowed to participate if they so desire. The discrimination panel of the White House Conference on the Family in Anchorage, being chaired by its committee chairman, ruled that a gentleman that had a tape recording in his tape recorder in his possession could not use that tape recorder to record those public sessions. In ruling him out of order and chairing that panel, and an attorney, I believe, from the Attorney General's office saying that he could not use the tape recording, they violated state statutes. And because of that and other irregularities, I cannot, in good conscience, support this resolution. Thank you.
Representative Halford.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think several of us would be looking for a yellow light on this thing. I don't agree with some of the inconsistencies in the appointment process or some of the positions taken or some of the inconsistencies in exactly how it was run. I also have a problem with just exactly where some of the positions came from. The problem is I appointed a very pro-family delegate to this conference. I supported the conference strongly before it was held and publicly, and I can't now turn around because I don't like some of the results and say that the whole thing should go down the tube. And it's very reluctant, but I can't vote against this resolution for that reason.
Representative Randolph.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think it's a really important consideration we have before us just now. There's no question that the basic family unit has been one of the strongest and one of the basic reasons why this country has come to be the great country that it has. In order to have strong families, you have to have strong individuals. And in order to have strong individuals, they have to be free to act upon their own and to accept the responsibility for their actions. It seems to me that the last thing we need is government interfering with that family unit any more than they already have. The major problem we have in this family, as far as weakening of the family unit is concerned, is the usurpation of power and usurpation of authority and usurpation of responsibility from the family by government. And I can see no other reason for this conference other than to allow government the excuse to further increase its control and its input into the basic family unit. And I see no reason whatsoever to have to equalize or socialize or make conform families from all over this country. What's important and what makes us strong, I think, is our differences. This is a government-sponsored function for the purpose of getting a lot of good people, I think, involved in a process that will give the government an excuse on the federal level. Government excuse on a state level is one thing, which I think I would also oppose, but not nearly as strongly as to do government, a uniform government policy of how it's going to relate to the family all across this country is an extremely serious matter. And I don't really care what direction this conference, the policies this conference come up with, take. I don't believe that government interference in the in the sacred functionings of the family unit ought to be interfered with by government on any level, and certainly not on the federal level. I think in order to have strong family, we have to have strong individuals, and the only way you have strong individuals is allow individuals freedom of and the responsibility to act. It's just like taking a perfectly good arm and putting it in a sling, and the dang thing will rot off after a while. Because the only way you're going to help that arm get healthy again is to release and relax the controls and allow the arm to start to function for itself. We're not going to build strong families by further controls, further support, and further manipulation of that unit by government.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This the whole issue of the White House conference has been controversial, I guess, since about the beginning of the conference. In different areas of the state, delegates were selected in different ways, and in my area, the legislators didn't select the delegates. The people who showed up at the conference in Fairbanks selected the delegates, and we got quite a number of telegrams at that time over the selection process, and some people who didn't get delegates were rather upset, and now we're starting to get a whole bunch of telegrams asking that the state not participate, and it's from some of the people who were the most active in the regional conferences. And now we've got the governor saying, well, maybe we could go to the conference, but not raise certain issues. And I don't, frankly, have a lot of faith that such a conference is going to make a big difference in the national policy or the state policy. Most conferences I see don't, but it is an opportunity for people to who are involved in some issues to discuss the issues. But what we're hearing from the third floor is a message from the governor to the delegates that I don't like some of the issues you want to talk about, and if you're going to talk about those issues, you can't go. And the effect on the freedom of speech for the people, the delegates, and the people the delegates represent, it seems to me that's a fairly serious matter. Some have said it's like killing the bearer of bad tidings. What we're saying is either you must be silent or you will be silenced. Mr. Speaker, that's a pretty serious problem, I think. One of the most valuable things in the United States, I think, is the freedom of speech. It's one of the things we pride ourselves on, that this country is one that protects the right of individuals to freedom of speech. And I'm afraid that if, because there are some controversial issues in this conference, we're going to muzzle people, that it's just the first step by this government to start restricting people's freedom of speech. And because of that, and because I don't want to set a precedent for limiting people's freedom of speech, I'm going to support this resolution.
Representative Randall.
Mr. Speaker, just one comment on that. I think I have absolutely nothing wrong. I have no opposition whatsoever to people exercising their freedom of speech to the fullest. However, I think they should do so with their own money, not mine.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, we've had a White House conference on the elderly. We've had White House conference on children. None of these conferences generated the response that the White House conference on families. I couldn't, as a wife and a mother and a grandmother, very well vote against a White House conference on families. Government has become involved in a lot of areas, and I do think that taxes, the highways, everything involves our families, as well as what some might say interference in families. I think most of us want a good place to live and a good place to raise families. In the selection of delegates, I would agree with Representative Rogers that the selection was done in different ways in different parts of the state. all over the lower 48, there has been a controversy because some people were not delegates and some people were. My biggest objection to some of the telegrams I've received are telegrams that state that all of the delegates that have been selected are not Christians. And this really distresses me, because in the United States, freedom of religion and freedom of choice is one of our founding principles. And I really wonder about people who would write and say these people are not Christians. Who determines what a Christian is? Most of the people that I know of that are involved in this conference are very much Christians. They belong to all of the different churches, and so I will vote for the White House conference.
Question for the House, final passage, House Resolution number 20. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
23 yeas, 12 nays.
House Resolution number 20 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 114, amended by the Rules Committee. An act relating to competitive bidding under the Fiscal Procedures Act and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had the bill under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 114 and reports it back without recommendation and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurring Anderson, Parr, O'Connell, Brown, Malone, and Buchholz. Signing do pass, Martin, Phillips, and Barnes. The Committee on Finance has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 114 rules amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 114 Finance and recommends it do pass and attaches a fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Guy, Schaefer, and Freeman. Montgomery has no recommendation. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Finance Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 114 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to get an explanation from either the Judiciary Chairman, who I guess isn't here, but perhaps somebody from Finance Committee, on what the difference is between these two bills. There appears to be considerable difference, and I put a Xerox copy of a report by an individual that indicated there was considerable difference. I just wonder if we could get something from the Finance Chairman.
Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, the Finance Committee substitute is the same or very, very similar to a bill that I've sponsored for the last 4 years and which has passed this body twice, once last year in the presently constituted House of Representatives with a very few dissenting votes, and once in the last legislative session with only two dissenting votes. In both cases, that bill did not clear the Senate. We now have before us a Senate title, which the original Senate bill was very similar in title to the bill that we've passed previously. And so, what we did in Finance was essentially amend on the bill that this body has passed several times before. So, the House Finance Committee substitute is the bill that this body has ratified twice in the last 2 years and has been kept from passing from the Senate. The difference between the two, I would like to explain that by taking a little side journey for a minute and explaining how this came about. About 3 or 4 years ago, I became interested in the question of competitive bidding and how the state picks bidders when it gives out contracts. And in looking into that, I found that a tremendous number of our contracts were going outside the state to Seattle and Portland. And I became particularly informed and knowledgeable about the problem in printing, because there was a very organized group of printers in my home district and throughout the state. And I, excuse me, and in looking into it, I think they had a tremendously good case. There were regulations that were adopted by the department which essentially prevented in-state printers from being able to bid on certain jobs. They would require a certain paper size that none of the printers in the state could do, or they would require certain other things that would increase the Alaskan bidders' costs. They would have the delivery be Seattle or Chicago instead of Anchorage or Juneau, which would put people in those cities at an advantage because they wouldn't have to add shipping costs. And they did a tremendous number of things that, in my view, militated directly against Alaskans getting a fair shake. But in addition, there was one problem that even fair bidding procedures couldn't really address, and that is that the cost of doing business in Alaska is much greater than the cost of doing business outside the state. And the case that I made, and was, I think, agreed to by a vast majority of this body before, is that if you spend $100 in Alaska, that money circulates through the Alaskan economy. If you spend $100 outside the state, it does not circulate. We calculated, and we hired people to calculate, that the return to the state was about 15%. And therefore, you could spend $100 in the state and get back $15. So that only cost you $85. So a 15% preference given to in-state bidders would essentially equate and make equal their standing in terms of competitive bids. And that seemed to be a very reasonable thing to do. It was essentially, although there were some upfront costs to the state, as that money turned over in the economy, the actual dollar cost of the state would be reduced. In addition, there was the non-quantifiable but very real effect of stimulating employment within the state as opposed to outside the state. And I think those are all very good reasons for adopting this legislation. There were some people who didn't want to do it and thought that we were giving too much by having a 15% preference. What happened, though, like a lot of times when we raise the expectations of a certain group, the original people that I was working with who were asking for only a 15% preference, now we have a 5% preference, so all they were asking for was an increase of 10% to 15%. And other states do have that. Hawaii, for instance, has a 15% preference, and they're in a similar situation to Alaska in regards to the standing of their printers and other bidders. What has happened, though, is that the group that originally was working with me has now decided, at least some members of that group, have now decided that 15% didn't go far enough. And what they're asking for is relatively a blanket statement that Alaskan printers and other bidders, manufacturers and any other person who can locate in Alaska or who can show that they have some sort of locus in Alaska will receive a preference and would get the bid as opposed to an out-of-state bidder. And we brought this up in House Finance Committee several years ago and last year, and there are just a tremendous number of problems that arise if you restrict it totally to Alaskans. I think there are constitutional problems that you don't have with a 15% preference, because you can base that on cost of living and it's reasonable. I think in addition to those constitutional problems, which are very, very serious, you have a case where it really isn't probably right that the state should in every case purchase from people inside the state. And it seems to me that we don't want to give that kind of blanket protection. I mean, it's one thing to try to help out with 15% when you can justify it by saying the state will receive that money back. But it's another thing to, in a sense, subsidize the activity of certain elements of the Alaskan economy. And I don't think that's really what we're into. And it seems to me to be a case where we've created an expectation in people which far outstrips the ability or, in fact, the justification for the state to provide the service that's being requested. And that happens a lot. It happens. It's happening in the loan bill. It's happening all over. And I think we have to exercise some discipline and draw the line where we've drawn it on two previous occasions. In addition, I do not think it's the case, as is represented by the memo that's been handed out here, that, I don't know if I can find it, here it is, that it says that is not supported by our 2,000 Alaskan businesses represented by the Buy Alaska Committee. I know it's not the case because several of those businesses have contacted me directly, and in my view it seems like, in fact, a majority of them saying that they prefer the House Finance Committee substitute over the Buy Alaska Committee substitute, or bill. So I believe very strongly that this statement that there are 2,000 businesses that are asking for this is incorrect, and I know that there are some, in fact, that are members of that do not agree. I would like to clear up some misinformation to you that what we have in this bill is, I think, more than justifiable. There have been situations this year from the issues we passed this, and that is that the department has adopted regulations which implement a lot of what those of us concerned with this have asked for in the past. And their current procedures are that when the estimated dollar amount of a purchase is between $0 and $25,000, invitations to bid will only be requested from Alaskan vendors. If it's between $25,000 and $100,000, invitation to bid will only be requested from Alaskan vendors if at least five Alaskan vendors are interested. And if it's $100,000 or more, invitation to bid will be requested from all known vendors. And then to amplify that information, the percentage of bids that are awarded by dollar amount are represented below. 90% are between $0 and $25,000. 7% are between $25,000 and $100,000, and only 3% are over $100,000. So in the current House Finance Committee substitute, only 3% of all the bids awarded would go out for competitive bid for all bidders. And in addition, all Alaskan bidders would receive a 15% preference. And it seems to me to be an extremely liberal committee substitute, and to ask that we go the additional step and make every single bid, regardless of price, go out only to Alaskan seems to me to be really overstepping the bounds of good sense and good judgment, and I would ask for support of the House Finance Committee substitute.
Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The finance chairman made a good argument for his bill, which I guess was House Bill 155. In fact, I supported it when it was before us previously on this floor. I guess the difference of opinion it would be which one of these bills is the stronger, at least perhaps in favor of Alaska business. And I guess my opinion would be that the judiciary version is a stronger bill. The disagreement with the House Finance Chairman is that perhaps it's unreasonably stronger. I guess therein lies a difference of opinion. The other part of the judiciary bill, which is not reflected in the finance version, which I don't believe he mentioned, was Section 6 of the judiciary version, which had to do with identification of Alaska manufactured goods. In my opinion, I thought that was a good provision.
Representative Anderson.
Speaker, just for the record, I'd like to read the committee report that issued forth from the Judiciary Committee. We considered this in depth in the committee and had a tremendous amount of problem with it. And the committee report is members signing due pass are three members, Terry Martin, Representative Phillips, and Representative Barnes, and no recommendations are myself, the chairman, Representative Parr, Representative O'Connell, Representative Brown, Representative Malone, and Representative Buchholz. So I think that probably is an indication of some of the difficulties we may have had. And then I don't know what the Finance Committee report is, but we did have some problems with the Judiciary Committee.
Will the clerk please read the Finance Committee report?
The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 114 Finance and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, concurred in by Meekins, Duncan, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, Rogers, Guy, Schaefer, and Freeman. One no recommendation. Montgomery.
Question for the House is the adoption of the Finance Committee Substitute, Senate Bill Number 114. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Randolph. Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
26 yeas, 9 nays.
Finance Committee substitute has been adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Representative Speaker. Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, before we move to third reading, I'd like to ask a technical question on the finance version. First, on in section 3, on the at the bottom of the first page. I'm not sure whether that's supposed to be the that last word for construction or repair. Is that, if that's supposed to be the end of the sentence, perhaps it is. I don't know if that's an incomplete sentence. I guess if it is, it just needs a period. On the over at the top of page 2, we go from subsection 7 to 9, and my question is, what happened to 8? Is that is 8 omitted because nothing was done to it, or was 8 accidentally omitted?
House, please stand at ease. Amendment. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 1 by Mr. Malone. Page 3, line 12. Change the period to a comma and add the word and. Page 3, line 13, add a new subsection to read, C, whose major base of operations is located and headquartered in the state.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of amendment number 1.
There is an objection. Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The idea of the amendment is consistent with the other, I think, the other terms expressed in Section 6. The idea is that the activity, it's an attempt to make sure that the activity for which we're giving a preference on the bid is located within Alaska. Maybe the amendment could say that more clearly, but that's the intent of the amendment. And there are businesses that are owned by residents of the state that are located outside the state, and I'm not sure that giving them the bidder's preference is consistent with the rest of the bill.
Clerk, please reread the amendment.
Page 3, line 12. Change the period to a comma and add the word and. Page 3, line 13, add a new subsection to read, C, whose major base of operations is located and headquartered in the state.
Is there further debate on the amendment? Is there objection? So there's no further objection maintained. Amendment number 1 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Finance Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 114 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. House Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 114 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill Number 114 Finance amended by the House by the Finance Committee. An act relating to competitive bidding under the Fiscal Procedures Act.
Question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill Number 114. The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
33 yeas, one nay.
Senate Bill number 114 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 514 by the Judiciary Committee. Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 514 by the Judiciary Committee, an act amending the criminal provisions relating to cruelty to animals and establishing the crime of promoting an exhibition of fighting animals and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 514 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 514 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Phillips, Buchholz, Anderson, Martin, Barnes, Malone, and Brown. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 514 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted. Are there amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Judiciary Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill number 514 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 514 will be engrossed, advanced third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
A House Committee substitute for a committee substitute for Senate Bill number 514 by the Judiciary Committee, an act amending the criminal provisions relating to cruelty to animals and establishing the crime of promoting an exhibition of fighting animals and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Mr. Speaker, I see it's a class, under this would be a Class C felony to promote the exhibit of fighting animals. Can I ask what the penalty on that is and how it compares with penalties for cruelty to humans?
Representative Miller.
Speaker, a Class C felony would be up to $50,000, although obviously any amount less than that, and up to 5 years in prison. Bear in mind that these penalties are not for the people that go to watch the exhibit. They have a considerably lesser penalty because they're classified only for a violation. These are the guys that take this very cruel and heartless sport and make bucks out of it. They're the organizers, the guy that place the bets, the guys that are really literally making making a lot of bucks off the misery of these dogs. I had a much better penalty in mind, but I guess it's unconstitutional. On the first offense, you'd put one hand in the pit. Let the dogs have fun with that, and then on another, on a recurring, you could get two hands, two legs, and finally just throw the guy in. But I'm told that would be unconstitutional. So,
Representative Rogers.
The second half of my question was how it compares with offenses on humans, assault and battery, and that I don't know the criminal code very well.
Representative Miller?
Mr. Speaker, that question was asked in Judiciary, and I can't tell you how it compares, but I think the Judiciary Committee was satisfied that it was comparable.
Representative Randolph?
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I certainly find this sport as abhorrent, I think, as anybody else, but I have some real problems with putting that kind of penalties on people for acting with what is, in fact, their own property. I just think the bill is going quite a bit beyond what we'd have to go to solve the problem. I don't have a better solution, but I just wanted to make the point that we are dealing with people's property rights here in a very real way and a very stiff penalty. If you raise rabbits or chickens and cut their heads off to eat them, I suppose some people would consider that cruel. It just seems like a substantial overreaction to me.
Representative Miller.
Mr. Speaker, the cutting a chicken's head off is, believe me, gentle in comparison with what these people do. I'm told, and it's been pretty well documented, I think, by both Anchorage newspapers, that the people that engage in this, for instance, take kittens and take puppies and toss them into the pits to kind of, you know, get the old dog's fighting spirit up. There's, I think, perhaps a limit to what people can even do with their own property, particularly when what they do is just literally just rip another animal to shreds. Right now, the penalty is a misdemeanor, and the people who are engaged in this are just apparently just thumbing their nose at the at the law and at the provisions of the law. And I emphasize that although the penalty, $50,000, sounds like a lot of dough, 5 years in jail sounds like a lot of time, bear in mind that these guys are the professionals. These guys are the people that own the dogs. These are the guys that take bets. They're not just in it for the, and I really hesitate to use this word, sport of it. They're in it to make big bucks off the thing. And I imagine the judiciary would probably not inflict those maximum penalties unless there was a maximum need. But I think the presence of those penalties is beneficial.
Representative Cotton.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I think Mr. Miller just answered one of my questions, and that was what happens now. I know that out in my neck of the woods, a time or two, there have been some big raids, and I think they're fighting chickens mostly, but I think they had a dog fight out there one time too. And, you know, a lot of people own dogs that, pit bulls, for instance, pit bull terriers, that are good house pets, and I suppose they could be used for fighting. And I notice on page two here, the first, let's see, line three, it's a person who owns an animal with the intent that it be engaged in an exhibition of fighting animals. I'm not sure exactly what that might mean to a person who owns a pit bull terrier or another dog that might be used for fighting. I wonder if that's an invitation for some sort of harassment by an overzealous law enforcement officer. If a person does own the dog, how are you going to know whether it's his intent to fight it? I support the bill. I'm not sure what the penalties are now for a person who promotes a dog fight. If it is a misdemeanor, I assume that means he can be sentenced to jail and that he can be fined rather heavily. But I wonder if there was any discussion in committee about people that own these dogs.
Representative Miller.
Speaker, Mr. Cotton is exactly right. The pit bulls are a fine breed of animal, and when they're raised to be pets or even trained for any number of other purposes that dogs are trained for, they're fine, intelligent, great animals, and I imagine a lot of Alaskans own them. But I honestly don't think any person that owns a pit bull, or for that matter any other breed of dog, training them and raising them specifically for this purpose is in any jeopardy on this bill.
Representative Byrne.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I cannot and will not vote for this bill. I think it's an overreaction to a sport that might need some regulation, but certainly doesn't need to be eliminated from the scene of America. I've seen a lot of dog fights and chicken fights and so forth, and I don't think they're unnecessarily cruel in many respects. I've seen a lot of human fights that I think are cruel, and I've seen a lot of boxing matches. I've attended them as a professional, where I couldn't even get the matches to stop, where the promoters wanted the fights to go on and on and on, beating the parties to pulps. And we don't, if we're going to regulate cruelty to animals, why don't we start with regulating cruelty to human beings first? I think it makes a lot more sense. And I think this is really an overreaction, just probably a very special interest type of legislation, and I'm not going to vote for it.
Question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill number 514. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
29 yeas, 3 nays.
Senate Bill number 514 has passed the House. Will clerk please read the next item? Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 514 be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. The roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to give reconsideration on my vote on the House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 514.
Representative Munson's notice of reconsideration is noted. Clerk, please read the next item on the calendar.
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 523, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to public utilities and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 523 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 523 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Phillips, Martin, Anderson, Malone, and Parr. Buchholz has no recommendation. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at ease?
The House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 523 be referred to Rules.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 523 will be referred back to the Rules Committee. Will clerk please read the next item on the calendar?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 562 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the formation of coastal resource service areas and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Community and Regional Affairs has had Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parker, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Branson, Carney, and Jaroff, having no recommendation, Parr and Metcalf. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 562 be considered engrossed, advance to third reading, and placed on final passage.
If there's no objection, Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 562 will be engrossed, advance to third reading, placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the bill in third reading?
Committee Substitute for Senate Bill number 562 by the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, an act relating to the formation of coastal resource service areas and providing for an effective date.
Is there debate? Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, could we get a brief explanation?
Representative Osterbeck.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. The coastal zone management, what is all in the REAs up there is a real large area. It's about 2,000 miles. And with the weather and everything else, to get the people from all over the Lucian chain and to one community, the Wotan is here, is holding up the progress. And this was passed at the March meeting by Alaska Coastal Policy Council. And it was accepted by the council. This won't go into effect until they have taken a vote on it. But if you look at the coast up there, it's 2,000 miles and they want to cut it down into smaller areas. Like you have to get people from the Pribilof Islands and from Dutch Harbor. And it's real expensive, and this would cut it up. It would make Sandpoint and King Cove and Port Mole and Unimak Island into one area, and then Dutch Harbor and the Pribilof Islands would go into one. And ADAC is a different REAA, so that would be into one. But when you look at ADAC, that's a Navy base, and they don't allow anybody out there unless you have a permit, so they could work on their own coastal zone management. But what we want to do is to get it cut up, and Community Regional Affairs agrees on this. They're the ones that brought the bill in. And I think it would help a lot to get that area divided, and I would ask the passage of the bill.
Question for the House, the final passage of Senate Bill number 562. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
22 yeas, 9 nays.
Senate Bill number 562 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question for the House is the effective date clause on Senate Bill 562. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take the final roll.
27 yeas, 4 nays.
Effective date clause has been adopted. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 67 by the Finance Committee, directing the state to take measures to protect Alaskan interests in NEFCO bankruptcy. The Committee on Resources has had Senate Concurrent Resolution number 67 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment. The report was signed by Mr. Osterbach, Chairman, concurred in by Eliason, Chatterton, Carney, Fuller, Jaroff, and Osterbach. I have one amendment on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the amendment.
Amendment number one by the Resources Committee. Page 2, line 2. Between words adverse and impact, add word socioeconomic.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a brief at each?
House, please stand. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Resources Committee amendment be adopted.
There is objection. Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number one by the Resources Committee. Page 2, line 2. Between words adverse and impact, add word socioeconomic.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I object to the amendment for the purpose of explanation.
Representative Chatterton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The state of Alaska has two problems in this situation of the NEFCO bankruptcy. One is that the state of Alaska is a creditor, and of course to protect the people's money must act in that situation. The other interest that the state of Alaska has, of course, is that the potential negative impact of this bankruptcy upon our fishing industry. And Mr. Speaker, the purpose of the amendment was to try and delineate between those two interests on the part of the state, and at this point in time place the emphasis on the socioeconomic interest of the state rather than that of being a creditor. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Is there Representative Malone?
Speaker, I remove my objection to the amendment.
Is there further objection? There's no further objection. Resources Committee amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Senate Concurrent Resolution number 67 is before the House in final passage. Members may proceed to vote. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
31 yeas, 1 nay.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 67 has passed the House. Completes today's calendar and brings us to unfinished business. Are there any items unfinished business to come before the House? Under announcements,
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Randolph.
I give notice of reconsideration of my vote on House Resolution 20.
Representative Randolph's notice of reconsideration is noted. House Resolution 20. The under announcements, we will be coming back in at 4:30 today merely to read messages. Members will need not to attend. Only the majority and minority leader have to be here. You're welcome if you want to come. And we'll be having session tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. and will be try to be completed by noon. That's all. If there's there are announcements at committee meetings. Representative Anderson.
Before I announce the committee meeting, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to announce that the Juno Douglas Little Theater production of Guys and Dolls will be run for the next 3 weekends. That's if we're going to be here. I don't know if we're going to be here. Anyway, it's going to be run May 16th and 17th, May 22nd and 23rd and 24th, May 29th, May 30th and 31st. So if we are here with nothing to do, we have a production to see, which I understand is supposed to be very good. Mr. Speaker, under announcements of committee meetings, Judiciary Committee meeting will be meeting this afternoon at 3 p.m. To discuss committee substitute for Senate Bill 511, amending the criminal code. And I believe there is another item that may be coming up. I don't have it at this time, but it will be posted.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, the Rules Committee is going to meet this afternoon on House Bill 800. And the plan is to attach it to a Senate bill that's in rules. There won't be a real hearing on the bill, but we're just going to facilitate its hopeful passage by that maneuver. Also, it's tentatively scheduled for tomorrow's calendar, Senate Bill 438 and Senate Bill 424. This is a major part of the energy package that's been worked on by the House for most of the session. 438 includes several bills, energy conservation, rural energy assistance, and so forth. 424 is the hydro bill, and they're both thick, comprehensive bills, and I thought I'd announce that so people would have a chance to review them if they're interested.
Representative Munson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The House Commerce Committee will meet this afternoon at 3 o'clock and to continue work on the Medical Practice Acts.
Representative Freeman.
Finance Committee will meet at 1:30 to continue consideration of Senate Bill 1, that's a loan bill.
Representative Osterbach.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Resource will meet today at 3 o'clock, taking up House Resolution 22, Northern and Southeast Agriculture Association, and we have another resolution by the Resource Committee, House Concurrent Resolution number 73. We'll be taking that up at 3 o'clock also.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, there's a possibility that, and I'll post a time and place for the Rules Committee meeting, but there's a possibility that Rules Committee will consider a technical amendment or two to Senate Bill 438. But it wouldn't be our intention to come up with a new CS. If we did adopt any amendments, they would arrive on the floor with the bill.
Representative Fuller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. State Affairs will meet at 1:30 to take up Senate Bill 377, Transportation Safety, Senate Bill 470, Inherent Risk of Skiing, and if we don't get through them, we'll take them, continue at 4 o'clock Sunday morning.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This afternoon, 1:30, HCS will work on House Bill 455, State Aid to School Districts Providing Special Education. And tomorrow, if I can get a meeting going, quorum going, we will have a work session on Senate Bill 227, which contains House Bill 977. That will be at 1 to 3 p.m.
Representative Freeman.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to add to the list of finance bond issue on corrections. I don't have the number, and if we get to it, we'll take it up. We'll have the number posted on the board.
Representative Bettesworth.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. To the Interior delegation, I would announce that the caucus for this noon has been canceled. Problem's been taken care of.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to amend my announcement also following the first bill, House Bill 445. We are going to consider House Bill 1030, Alaska Hospital Bill.
Representative Hayes.
We have a brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Come back to order. A couple more announcements. Since we're having a 4:30 bill reading session to make things move faster, if you're moving out some bills this afternoon and there's no need to redraft them, would you have your staff deliver them quickly to the chief clerk's office so they can be read in. Also, members, we got quite a few people excused today and tomorrow, which may end up being a problem because we don't have a quorum floor. So for the rest of the, what's left of the session, members ought to stay here in Juneau while we're trying to adjourn. One other announcement. On Saturday afternoon, there's a plant of the annual Red Dog versus Legislature softball game and other athletic events that are planned. And I think you've seen the things posted around, and Vince will be going around signing up people. But if you're planning to go to the picnic, you have to pay $5. And I'm sure there's a, it's well worth $5. And but the legislature has to carry its share of the tab, which is about $500. So members should fork over if they're going to go. Further announcements. Representative Anderson.
Wanted to amend my Judiciary Committee announcement, Mr. Speaker. We'll be taking up Senate Bill 559 relating to the convening of the legislature.
The further announcements. Special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I wanted to go back, if I may, to yesterday's special orders on herring in Bristol Bay.
Representative Anderson.
As I stated, I concur wholeheartedly with the statements made by Representative Eliason. I believe the state of Alaska has a terrifically serious problem in their ability or inability to manage the herring resource of the state of Alaska. It appears as though other parts of the state of Alaska who have what I might term very politely raped their resource are now moving into the Bristol Bay area, and I have an unreliable resource, reliable from reliable sources, that if the practice as has been recently concluded up in the Bristol Bay area continues, there is no longer going to be any herring resource at all for the for anybody up there. So as I understand it, something like 2,500 tons of herring were dumped and wasted. I'd say that that probably is not a correct figure, because that's only an estimate and it's probably far in excess of that amount. The Department of Fish and Game, I believe, and I lay the blame squarely on their heads, is that I don't think that they are able to match the processing capacity with the amount of sophisticated equipment to go out and harvest the resource. I've asked the chairman of the Resources Committee, or the co-chairman of the Resources Committee, Representative Osterbach, to investigate this before we adjourn, so that we could try to figure out what some of the problems are so that they can be prevented. Some of the things that I'd like to relate to the members of the body, and I think if we're not careful, and if the practice continues, as I said earlier, I don't think we're going to have a herring resource any longer. And I think another thing that really bothers me is that we do have large numbers of local fishermen who are sitting on the beach watching their herring resource, or not necessarily theirs, belongs to the whole state, but they're watching people who are from other parts of the state come in and take massive numbers. Apparently, they were not, some of the processors who were there were not willing to buy herring from the local fishermen for one reason or another, which had to do with the amount of herring roe percentage and so forth. I'm not quite sure exactly what percentage is required before a sale is made. But it seems to me the Department of Fish and Game is going to have to do several things. It's going to have to, one, try to make a decision on what the capacity of the processors is, and then number two, figure out how efficient the fleet is going to be, and then make a determination, a real determination, on how many local people ought to be given an opportunity to go out and compete with purse seiners. And I think also something that the legislature in the future should consider is when regulations regarding the resource management of a particular area is considered, that the Board of Game or the Board of Fish hold those hearings in the area that's going to be impacted. That's something that I've advocated for years, but many times you've found that individuals who are waiting to testify in various regulations, the meetings are extended and other issues come up, and the people who are from various parts of the state, for instance, if you're from Bristol Bay, your issue is or whatever is held till the very last, your resources run out, you've got to go back home, and you've got to leave Anchorage, and living or staying in Anchorage can get quite expensive. So I think there's got to be something done about that. But one of the things, and I think one of the warnings that I want to give to representatives and senators who represent the coastal area north of where I'm the representative, are going to have to be doggone sure that the kind of harvest that occurred in Kalukuk Bay doesn't occur in their area. I would suggest that they get on the stick and talk to the, and I'll be glad to help, talk to the Department of Fish and Game and just, you know, make sure that they adopt some emergency regulations to prevent some of the things that have happened in Bristol Bay. Thank you.
The further special orders. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Recess till.
Excuse me, recess till 4:30 this afternoon.
There's no objection. The House is in recess till 4:30 this afternoon. Call the session to order. Do we have any messages from the Senate?
No.
We'll revert to reports of standing committees.
Okay. The Committee on Judiciary has had House Concurrent Resolution 70 directing the Alaska Legislative Council to revise AS-29 municipal government under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Martin, Barnes, Buchholz, Malone, and Parr. Having no recommendation, Phillips and Anderson. House Concurrent Resolution number 70 has no further referral. The Committee on Hess has had House Bill 455, State Aid to School Districts, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and recommends that it be referred to the Finance Committee. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, signing do pass, Chatterton, Hurlburt, Munson, and Buchholz. House Bill 455 has no further referral.
House Bill 455 will be referred to the Finance Committee. It does have a slight fiscal note of $8 million.
Okay. The Committee on Rules has had second committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 amended pipeline tariffs under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Senate Bill 84 amended and reports it back with individual recommendations. Report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing do pass, Cotton and Anderson. No recommendation, Hayes and Phillips. Senate Bill 84 amended has no further referral. The Committee on Commerce has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 509 rules amended, establishing telecommunications divisions under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a letter of intent. The report was signed by Mr. Brown, Chairman, concurred in by Brown, Malone, Munson, and Osterbach. Halford signed do pass without physical note. Randolph signed do not pass. Bettisworth signed no recommendation. Senate Bill 509 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Commerce has had committee substitute for Senate Bill 551, Professional Licensing and Regulation of the Practice of Optometry, under consideration. And a majority of the committee recommends it do pass with attached amendment, which I don't have. We haven't. The report was signed by Mrs. Munson, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Halford, Bettisworth, Osterbach, Malone, and Munson. Randolph signed do not pass. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 551 has no further referral. The Committee on Judiciary has had Senate Bill 559, convening of the legislature, under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Anderson, Chairman, concurred in by Buchholz, Martin, Phillips, and Anderson. Malone signed do pass. Suggest legislative time. Senate Bill 559 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
House, please stand. House, please come back to order. Senate Bill 559 does have an additional referral to the State Affairs Committee. There's nothing further to come before the House. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.
If there's no objection, House adjourn till 9 a.m. tomorrow morning.